Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of Yirmiyahu. This is a chapter of Yirmiyahu which takes us much further into the future in Yirmiyahu's life to anything we've seen up till now. This is now towards the end of the reign of Yehoiakim. Just to put things back into perspective, Yirmiyahu was a young prophet at the times of the spiritual reform of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who brought about incredible spiritual revolution in Israel, unfortunately not fully successfully because of Israel's inner deception. After that, when Yoshiyahu was killed by the Egyptians and was replaced by Yehoahaz, his son, and he was ultimately replaced by the Egyptians 3 months later by Yehoiakim. So this is really the third king that Yirmiyahu is under. Yehoiakim was not favorable to Yirmiyahu at all. He did not want to hear Yirmiyahu's prophecies of the realities that were approaching. He silenced Yirmiyahu. There were many court cases held against Yirmiyahu, and in fact, Yirmiyahu was threatened during this time terribly, and towards the end of his reign, Yirmiyahu was actually silenced. Yirmiyahu was not allowed to prophesize. And so our parak now talks about Yirmiyahu's perspective or his prophecy during the end of this reign, where he's no longer in fact talking, he's acting. He can't say anything. So what happens? Well, the first thing he is given is the prophecy about the loincloth of linen. This is what's called the Azor Pishtim. It might be Azor is mistranslated sometimes as a belt, but as the Malbim points out, an Azor is really a sort of a garment which is worn tightly around the loins, which is a loincloth and is made out of Pishtim. So what he's told is he's meant to go out to the marketplace and buy himself this loincloth and make sure not to wash it, not even to enter the water with it. That's what he's told. Then, the second time Hashem talks to him, he says, well, take this loincloth that you've been wearing and go to the pros. Go to the pros. We're going to get to that in a second. The pros is actually a river. It's usually translated as the Euphrates River. And go and hide it in a crack in the rock there. And that's what he did. And a number of days later, Miketz Yomim Rabim, many days later, he is told to go to the pros and go take the belt that he hid there. And when he comes there, he finds that the Nishchas Ha'ezar, this loincloth has been lo yitzlach klal. It's not successful. It's obviously biological material and has deteriorated and is no longer usable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then explains in Psukim Ches to Yud Aleph that the nimshal of this is very clear. He says that this is what I'm going to do to the prophet, to the pride of Israel, to the Gaon Yaakov, and this is what's going to happen to Yerushalayim, that everybody's going in their own ways. And they're going to be like this belt, they're going to rot, they're going to fall apart. Kasher Yidbaka Israel El Mosne Ish, Kenid Bakti Elias Kobes Israel Es Kobes Yehuda Nam Hashem. I attached all of Israel and Yehuda to me, says Hashem. Liosli La'am, to be for me as my nation, Leshem or Tehila to the Pharis, to be my splendor, Veloshomeo. They didn't want to, and therefore they all rot and they'll fall apart. Very unusual prophecy. There are a lot of things which we need to think about over here. Firstly, just basics, is what is the idea of this, of the Pishtim, of this linen? So the Malbim does point out that, first of all, it is an ois kahuna. It is a sign of the priesthood, because remember, many of the garments of the Kohanim were linen. This obviously is interesting, because Yirmiyahu himself is a Kohen from Anasos, even though he's not one of the Kohanim who serves in the Beis HaMikdash. He, nonetheless, this might be almost like his kahuna, his serving, in a certain sense, is through his prophetic vision or his prophetic actions. It is made, why is it particularly in Azor, a loincloth? So the Malbim points out that in general, a loincloth is something which is girded for strength. It's something which represents, you know, girding your loins is something which is used in the Tanakh many, many times to describe, you know, bracing yourself for something and holding yourself ready for action. What's going on over here? What is the actual marshal? How did it work? So the Malbim explains that what really is going on over here is that a loincloth is a sign of strength. It's a symbol of being prepared, but because it's white and it's a biological material, it needs to be washed. Meaning that you can't just wear the same loincloth again and again and again without washing, without cleaning it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Bnei Yisrael, I have this relationship with you. I have this relationship where you are, so to speak, my strength in this world. But Bnei Yisrael, you need to clean the relationship. You need to make sure that it's not accumulating sweat. It's not accumulating dirtiness. It needs to be washed, but you don't even go into the river. You don't even let water touch it. You don't even have any self-reflection on yourselves. And therefore, not only is it going to biodegrade like regular linen will be, be, but it's linen which has been sweated on. It's linen which is going to now biodegrade even faster. That's how our relationship is going to go. There is an interesting debate as to where he went for this, because those of you who are geographically inclined will notice that the Euphrates River is way up there, up north. It's pretty much not in the territory of Israel. So the Radak says, well, yeah, maybe it's the border between Israel and the Babylonians. So he ran up there to the border. Whereas the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says this never happened at all. The Rambam, as he is wont to in many cases, says, and then quoted in Mora Nevuchim, the Radak quotes him as saying, that this was all a nevuah in a chalom. It was in a dream. Yirmiyahu dreamt one night, and there he was taking this loincloth and hiding it in the wadi by the rocks of this river, and he dreamed about finding it all biodegraded. Okay, meaning to the Rambam is probably saying this because it's very unlikely that Yirmiyahu would go twice into enemy territory for this prophecy. Whereas Rabbi Ben Ilau, just looking back on both the interpretations of the Rishonim, suggests that, you know, it's interesting, there is actually near Anasos, which is the hometown of Yirmiyahu, there is a place called Nachal Prat, which is the sort of a little wadi, which is an outflow of the Euphrates River much further north. And it's possibly likely Akash Baruch is telling him to go towards his hometown to use this rather than perhaps going further north. Interesting interpretations. Nonetheless, this is again a symbolistic prophecy in the place where Yirmiyahu is not able to express himself articulately or verbally during this time. It is interesting that it happens, the second part of the prophecy of bringing back this loincloth happens many days later, which is probably likely after Jehoiakim is overthrown by the Babylonians. Now Yirmiyahu then turns to the people and he says, Hashem tells him to say, he says, do you know, B'nai Israel, that every flask is full of wine? And they say, well, yeah, flasks that are full of wine are full of wine. And you shall tell him, I'm going to make you all drunk drunk with wine, and I'm going to blow you all up and blast you and break you open like these wine flasks. What's going on over here? So the Malbim suggests over here is that, you know, when you take a flask which is made of obviously of skin of leather and you fill it up with wine and you use it only for wine, you can't really use it for anything else because it's got the taste of wine. You can't use it to store any other types of drinks, oil, water, anything else, because it's full of the taste of wine. So what he's saying is that there's a kos tarela, this cup of punishment of bitter wine, which you're going to only be able to have that. The only thing you're going to be able to taste is this taste of terrible bitterness. That's what he's saying. As the Radak says, is that it might not be so much about the wine of bitterness, but the fact that they're going to be like drunk, like the Psukim say, that meaning to say they're going to stagger around. You're going to be so in pain. There's going to be so much emotional and physical pain in your lives that you'll be staggering around, not knowing where to turn, looking like a drunkard because of the pain that you're about to experience. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying to Bnei Israel, to the children of Israel. And then famously, and as we close towards the end of the Perek, he actually turns towards the king and the Gevira, the mother of the king. This is referred to, according to most of the Mefarshim, is Jehoiachin and his mother, Nehushta. This is what this is referring to, is that at the end of Jehoiakim's rule, Jehoiakim is overthrown by the Babylonians, and there's a terrible, the first stage of Golos, of exile, occurs right now, where Babylon takes thousands out of Yerushalayim and ransacks cities in Yehuda, even pushing southwards in the first stage of exile, which Yirmiyahu witnesses. This is not the final stage. The Beis HaMikdash has been desecrated, but it's still standing. It's only going to be destroyed later on in the times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, the last king. But at this point in time, he turns to the short-lived king of 3 months of Jehoiachin and to his mother Nehushta, who was the wife of Jehoiakim, his father, and he says the following, Hashpilu Shevu, ki yorad merash osechem ateres tifartom. He says, sit down, your crown has fallen, your crown of glory has fallen off. Orei HaNegev Sugru, even the towns of the south have been closed, Ein Poseach, no one's going to open it up again. Hoglas Yehuda Kula, Hoglas Shlomim, the land of Yehuda has been exiled. And he's telling them, the hope is lost, it's too late now, Yehoiachin, there's nothing that you can do. And when you ask yourselves, when you look around, you see all this terrible, terrible destruction going on, you're going to say, as he says in Pasuk Kof Beis, V'chi somri bilvoveich, and you're going to say in your hearts, Madua kura'oni eileh Why did all this happen to me, Yirmiyahu? Barov avoneich niglu shulayich nechmeru akevayich. It's because of your sins. And Yirmiyahu goes on to say, you brought it upon yourselves. He says, Ayaofech kushi oro. Can a person of dark skin change their skin color? V'nomer chababurov, the chababurosov. This is obviously where it comes from. Can the leopard change its spots? Meaning to say, look how bad you are. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take away your clothing. I'm going to remove your clothing to show you all the deception. And chosafti shulayich alponayich v'nira kolonayich. I'm going to take away your clothing so everything is exposed. This comes back to the loincloth. Maybe the loincloth was chosen at the beginning of this perek because the loincloth leaves nothing's hidden. And Yirmiyahu was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you everything you were deceiving up till now. Look at all the terrible things you did, the immorality, the incest, the way you treated society. And finally Yirmiyahu says, Oilach Yerushalayim, woe to you, Jerusalem. Loititari, you're never going to be purified. Acharei Mosai Od. When will this carry on stop happening? So Yirmiyahu is unfortunately, this is obviously a much later stage. You can hear the change in voice in Yirmiyahu here. You can hear the negativity. You can hear the fact that there's no optimism left in his voice. And he's now talking towards a doomed king, to Yoyachim, and Yoyachim won't really last too long himself. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.